This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, May 16th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the devastating earthquake in China hits home for one Champaign resident. AM 580's Michael Kaliska will have a report. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. The buyers of a once-stalled biodiesel plant project in eastern Illinois say they plan to start production next year. But first, Blackhawk Biofuel says it needs to do more work on the nearly finished plant in Danville so it can use raw materials other than soybeans. The plant would also be able to use things like animal fats to produce its fuel. It's adjacent to a soybean oil processing facility operated by Bunge North America. Blackhawk, a group of investors based in Freeport, about 30 miles west of Rockford, says it bought the plant from Biofuels Company of America. That company stopped work on the project just shy of completion. Blackhawk's Quentin Davis wasn't sure why the work stopped. He declined to say what Blackhawk paid for the plant. Davis says the plant will produce up to 45 million gallons of biodiesel a year and employ about 15 people. The state of Illinois provided $4.8 million of the more than $30 million in construction costs and is backing part of Blackhawk's financing. A coroner's jury was unable to come to a clear conclusion yesterday as to what killed Naomi Arnett. The Sedaris woman's remains were found in a shallow grave last September after her disappearance months earlier led to a lengthy search. Her estranged husband, Robert Arnett, is in custody and awaiting trial on murder charges. But Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says jurors told him those remains, as described yesterday, didn't provide enough evidence to call Naomi Arnett's death a homicide.
They felt that the information that was provided didn't give them enough information to make that decision. I think that some of them may have felt the death was homicide, but without any more information provided, they just couldn't come to a clear decision.
Northrup says despite the charges against Robert Arnett, no information was provided at yesterday's coroner's inquest that indicated his wife hadn't died of natural causes. He faces charges of murder and concealment of a homicidal death and will go to trial in August. James Prince, who is married to Naomi Arnett's sister, says the family is simply looking for closure, but is confident that the case against Robert Arnett will come out in the courtroom. Students and residents lit candles on the University of Illinois quad last night for the victims of the earthquake in Sichuan Province, China. Despite constant rain, people flocked to the vigil to remember the tens of thousands who perished. AM 580's Michael Kaliska has this.
We light the candles here tonight, and we pray for these brave souls.
Huddled under umbrellas, about 150 people joined in a moment of silence for the earthquake victims. The vigil was also one of several events to collect disaster relief funds for the victims in Sichuan province. Organizer Yun Di says the response from the community has been very strong.
We held a two-hour session here for donation collection, and we raised for this two-hour session, we raised $1,828.
Yun says basic supplies such as food, water, and blankets are needed in the earthquake area. He says the American Red Cross is helping to get the money to China. But Yun says, besides money, they are sending their support and love to the survivors and victims of the quake.
We mourn those unfortunate souls and bid that they rest in peace.
I'm Michael Kaliska, AM 580 News.
There will be more fundraising events for the earthquake victims today at the U of I Union at noon and tomorrow morning at the Farmers Market in Urbana. Illinois lawmakers are meeting in an attempt to hammer out a new state budget, but it's far from a done deal at this point, as Sean Crawford reports.
Both Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate are involved in the talks, as well as officials with the governor's office. Democratic Senator Donnie Trotter says as the clock ticks toward the scheduled adjournment at the end of the month, there's a concerted effort to reach consensus, but he says work remains.
So there's several plans on the table that have not been completely vetted out. But one thing that we do know that the budget that was presented in February by the governor was based on a revenue stream that hasn't shown itself yet. So there's going to be some difference.
Trotter says despite a hefty budget deficit and the state struggling to pay its bills, he doubts any major revenue increase will be part of a final deal. Instead, Trotter says there are discussions about using money in dedicated accounts for other needs and possibly further delaying some payments. The new budget year begins July 1st. Friction remains from a record-setting budget impasse last year, which some lawmakers say is making negotiations this year even tougher. I'm Sean Crawford.
In their first full day of deliberations yesterday, jurors in the trial of political fundraiser Tony Resco had two questions for the judge. Robert Wildebor has more.
The first question was from a juror who asked the judge if the jury could be excused early next Thursday so that she could make it to her grandson's eighth grade graduation. Judge Amy St. Eve said that would be fine. The question is perhaps an indication that jurors are settling in for the long haul. The second question was more serious. The jurors asked for a transcript of the testimony of one of the witnesses. Judges can decide if they want to allow that or not. The judge sent a note back saying no, and in an effort to prevent similar requests in the future, St. Eve wrote that for all the witnesses, jurors are to rely on their collective recollection of the testimony. I'm Robert Wildebor.
Jury selection is complete with 6 men and 6 women chosen to serve on the panel for the rape and stalking trial against former Bloomington Police Sergeant Jeffrey Pilo. Today is a scheduled day off in the trial. 3 alternate jurors, all men, were chosen yesterday after 4 days of jury selection. McLean County Circuit Judge Robert Freitag has set free retrial motions for Monday, followed by opening statements later Monday or Tuesday. The 42-year-old Pilo was charged last year in a 35-count indictment, accusing him of raping 4 women between December 2002 and January 2005 and stalking another woman. He has pleaded not guilty to all charges. The Central Illinois community of Stanford is without a police department. Board members in the western McLean County Village placed Police Chief Everett Copeland on paid administrative leave last night, pending an investigation by the McLean County Sheriff's Department. Village Attorney Mark McGrath wouldn't give any details about the ongoing investigation. Placing Copeland on leave means Stanford is left with part-time Stanford police officer Jeff Daugherty. McGrath says Daugherty can't work because there isn't a chief to work under. Until the situation is resolved, McLean County Sheriff's officials will patrol the village. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. There seems to be no end to the damage from Monday's earthquake in China's Sichuan province. The number of casualties is still rising, and the devastation is also felt in Champaign-Urbana. Many Chinese residents here have been checking up on family and friends back home to make sure they're all right. AM 580's Michael Kaliska talked with 4 of them, and he reports for at least one the news has been tragic.
It's just so hard, so hard.
Su Yi squeezes a tissue on her hands while she's talking. She lives and works in Champaign, but her parents live in Dujiangyan, China. The city of more than 300,000 people is about 25 miles off the epicenter of the Sichuan earthquake. Yi says the quake destroyed up to 60% of the buildings there.
First, I didn't realize how bad it was, but until I saw the pictures and I realized how bad it is, I keep calling home, nobody answered phone, and started to worry.
Yi says then she didn't reach anyone, neither did her husband, who works in Beijing, 1,000 miles away from the epicenter.
And on Tuesday morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, my husband called me and said, "There is a little bad news for my family because my father was buried."
His father was buried under a 6-story building that collapsed completely, killing him and another young man. She says for her parents, this 15-year-old building was a new home. They just moved into it a year ago because the apartment was bigger and newer.
My mom was outside, so she survived. Thank God for that.
He says her mom lives because she wanted to stretch her legs after lunch.
It was a beautiful sunny day. There's no any sigh. And she asked my father, she said, "Would you like to go outside? We'll have a walk, maybe to the park?" Because he's old, he doesn't have much energy. He cannot walk as much as my mom. He said he wanted to stay home and take a nap. It's just like a half hour.
The last time he saw her father was just before Christmas, but she talked to him last on Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was like just 14 hours ahead of the earthquake. I wanted to call my mom, but he answered the phone. So we talked a couple sentences, and he handed the phone to my mom. Yeah, just after 14 hours, you just never know.
Her father was 92, and E says he lived a fulfilled life.
I feel blessed. You know, my rest of my family's okay, even though some of them lost their homes. And my mom's okay, and my father has been gone peacefully. And so I'm thankful, yeah.
He says a personal tragedy is small compared to all the hundreds of children who were killed while in school.
Not even 2 or 3% of them are found alive. My big brother said that their bodies just on the ground. And their parents are heartbroken. You know how hard for them, they only have one child.
China's one-child policy has been well enforced over almost 3 decades, and only in rural areas people are sometimes allowed to have a second child. The policy could cause a lot of problems now for people who survived the children after the quake, says Jing Yangtian.
If the children's in high school, for example, parents are old enough not to be able to have another child, and what's going to happen with those parents? The children are supposed to support the parents when they're getting old.
Qing Yan Tian is a U of I educational policy PhD student. She says China has an underdeveloped pension system, and some families will now face a very uncertain future. She studied in Chengdu, the capital of Sichuan province, and has many friends in the earthquake area, which she hasn't been able to get in touch with.
I was trying to find out whether they're still alive or not. That's the most important thing for me.
I think the chance of their survive is kind of remote.
That's Kun Yong He. He has a lot of childhood friends who live close to the epicenter. He lives in Champaign with his wife, who's working towards a PhD in communication research at the U of I. He believes that the full story of the quake is not quite out there yet.
Compared to the news report, my father said it's worse. Actually, it's worse.
He's parents live in Meiyang, about 90 miles from the epicenter. He says the city got lucky. Not too many buildings were damaged. But He says his parents are not allowed to return to their home.
They stay in a tea cafe, running by my father's brother, actually.
He says the cafe is basically a tent. And he says the government doesn't allow his parents to go back to their apartment because they fear the buildings may still collapse. He's wife, Wan Rui Chen, says her father-in-law still sneaked back home for some comfort.
And then he tried to sleep for a while on the bed, but then he felt aftershock. So quickly he just grabbed some clothes and then went back to the tea house where they stay.
He says, meanwhile, food supplies seem to be running short because prices are going up drastically. And he says some people are just trying to exploit the tragedy. He says some cab drivers have started charging 6 times the regular fare.
I think it's a shame, but I also heard some good news, like some restaurants just to cook some porridge and send to people for free. Yeah.
So he says a lot of people are trying to help and the government is doing its best, but she says the quake destroyed so much and she wonders how people will ever recover.
My mom said this is the worst in 1,000 years since the history of our hometown. Never had such a tragedy.
He says she will go to China to see her mother and hopefully bring her to Champaign, far away from all the misery. I'm Michael Kuliska, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for today, mostly sunny skies, the high around 68 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 52. Mostly cloudy on Saturday, a chance of showers in the afternoon, the high around 70. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low around 50. Partly sunny Sunday, a chance of showers, the high around 68. Mostly cloudy Sunday night and Monday, with a low around 48 degrees, the high around 70. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, May 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.